I live my unique individual potential. I live my unique individual potential. This is the Absolute Philosopher, Dr. Harel Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, here in Campo, California. I live my unique individual potentials. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and the friend said that the story that I had told was not so. And I thought to myself, how interesting. How interesting that he has to say that the story that I told was not so. Now, what benefit do we get from ripping down other people's stories? What benefit do we get from belittling other people and their tales in front? Now, before his friends, I probably looked like a fool because I was telling a story that was not true. And before others, perhaps the same thing. Now, I teach use your wildest imagination. I teach lie, 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 lie. I teach you to lie, to lie, to lie, to lie to the evident and to claim that which is not evident. It's so easy for us to go around looking at the world and saying, it's raining outside, the sun is coming up, the sun is going down, the plants are growing, the plants are not growing, the field looks great, the field looks not great, I have cancer, I have diabetes, I have headaches, I have, well, you know, who needs to play that game? But I have illnesses, and I have poverty, and I have lack of peace on earth, and I have all these things. Now, they may be appearances. They may be things that we think are real, but they're not real. They're certainly not real. They are not anything at all that we do. And so what is it that they are? Their appearances is true. There's an appearance of war, of cancer, of illness, of poverty. And these appearances are quite apparent. Apparent. And we want to give them power. And in our giving them power, we say that that's a reality. Now, if a doctor would look at every person who came into his office and say, you got this. He'd say, I know, doctor, I don't want this now. How do I get rid of it? I'm sorry, you got this. Doctor, I know I have that. I don't want it. I want you to tell me how to get rid of it. Well, you got this. And if the doctor were an honest, pragmatic person talking to appearances and saying, that's a fact, then what would happen? The person would go away saying, I've got that, the doctor says I got that, and there's no cure for that, and that's it, you know? And all of the outstanding healings in the world have been done by people who would not take the doctor's opinion, who would not take the maybe one, two, or three doctors' opinions. They had the will to live. And with that will to live, they changed their attitude about the problem, about the illness, or about whatever the circumstances may be. Now, the doctor is like humanity. The doctor looks at appearances and says, okay, you have a cold. Go home, get lots of rest. Take a few aspirins every day. Go to bed. In 7 days, it should be over. Well, thank you very much, doctor. Well, now, that's the common cold. Common meaning that it's quite familiar with many people. Now, you have a broken leg. Doctor says, okay. Put a cast on there. It takes so long for that bone to grow and be strong enough so you can walk on it. And that's 6 weeks or so. And then you can take it off, and then you're okay. Now, there are people who don't have that much time to wait. In 6 weeks, they're going to be dead. And so they want to get out and dance, and they want to get out and play. They want to get out and do things before they go away. And so what happens? They say, I'm home perfect. You know? Now, they should say, I'm home perfect to life, too, instead of saying they're going to die. But the thing is, they're given these ultimatums, and the doctor really isn't being unkind. He's merely doing what he is expected to do. He's expected to give a prognosis on what the condition is. And if you continue, he doesn't say this, but if you continue with your negative thoughts, if you continue to believe the fact that you are ill, the fact that you have problems, then you will have those problems. Okay. You see, when we can have an imagination that just soars, that's just unlimited, that moves us into the realm of great ideas and great attitudes. I live my unique individual potentials. Now, what are these potentials? The potential is you have the potential, sitting here at this breakfast table, of taking four different kinds of cereal, four different kinds of fruits, four different kinds of salts, four different kinds of everything. You have the potential. Now, why are you such an idiot to only take one or two of those things? I mean, you got the potential to take it all. Why don't you take it all? Well, that's your choice. That's your choice. Now, if you took it all, then what would happen? If you took it all, you'd be quite content, quite full. And so, instead of having giant oranges, whoever prepares the breakfast would slit the orange into four pieces and serve it in four individual pieces. And if a person didn't want their piece, that's part of the breakfast that's being offered, and eat it. You know? If you don't want to eat at our table, then don't. Now, so often, they take an apple, and they cut a quarter of it out and eat it, and let the rest sit there so it goes to waste, you know. And it might as well go to your waste instead of to the trash. And so you cut it in four pieces and give everybody a piece of it and say, this is part of your breakfast. Well, I hadn't planned on having an apple for breakfast. Enjoy. Enjoy. In our house, you eat what you're served. And excuse me. And before you know it, you find you really do like the apple. You really do like the pear. You really do like the banana. You really do like the orange. And you think, hey, that's really cool. And then, after a while, some of those conditions of your body, which were negative and not making you feel too good, go away. Because you're giving them the benefit of certain foods, certain minerals, certain other things that are helpful to them to help you to achieve that and no longer have it. You see, I live my unique individual potentials. We have many unique individual potentials, all of us do. All of us have one limitation, though. We think that we're human. And as long as we think we're human, we're going to limit us to whatever we think a human is limited to. Now, if we think that we're divine, then we'll limit ourselves to what we think the divine does. And that's a limitation, too. And it's a very real limitation. Now, if you limit yourself to realize that you are God, you are the creative cause, you are the allness, then there are no limits. There are no limits. Because the divine can, God can do stupid things and beautiful things and orderly things and fun things. It doesn't really matter. And there's no one to judge. There's no one to say that God shouldn't do that, you know? No one to say that that's wrong or that's right. People are only there to say, hey, that looks like fun. Let's do that. Or, I'm not interested in that. Now, I say, Silvio, I want you to go out there and have fun. I want you to get on that big 1,000 Harley Davidson and take a cruise. And so he said, I can't even lift the thing. How can I get on there and take a cruise? You know, well, I got to stop someplace. You know, how do I stop without having it fall over? And if it falls over, how do I lift it back up again? You know, And I said, Sylvia, you go out and do that. So Sylvia goes out there, and Sylvia says, oh, Ron, and Ron just happened to be going by, Ron, let's go for a ride on the Harley. And Ron says, oh, that's my favorite. That's my favorite. And Ron is a big, burly guy. And so Sylvia hops on the back of the Harley with Ron, and they ride. Well, now, she just has a ball. She's just flying around the countryside. She says, Ron, you are a master at this. And he said, well, you would be too, Sylvia. Now, Sylvia, I'm going to stop, and you're going to get in front, and you're going to drive, and I'm going to sit behind you. And Sylvia says, I can handle that. And so Sylvia takes the gas handle. She goes, rah, 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 and she loves the rumble of the noise of the gas pedal there. And then she puts her foot on the clutch, and she puts it in gear, and she lets her foot gently off the clutch, and the old Harley goes zooming out the path and zooming down the dirt road and zooming out to the highway and zooming down to San Diego and zooming over to Tecate and zooming here. Oh, she's just having a ball. And when she comes back home, she says, I did it. And then Ellen says, but you had help. And Sylvie says, of course. I always have help. I always have whatever I want, whenever I want it, being with me to see me through whatever I want to be seen through. And it works just perfect. It is fantastic. And is she using her potential?
Yes. Yeah.
How is she using her potential? My way or her way?
My way.
Her way. And is it her individual potential? Yeah. Do I judge it? I only said, Sylvia, go play on the Harley today. And so she goes out there and she uses her creative imagination. She says, let's see, what would be the most fun thing to do with this? To ride with someone who knows how and who can handle it. And so she creates a Ron, whoever Ron is. And he's just a big burly motorcycle guy. He probably is a medical doctor in his off hours when he's not riding the bike. But he takes her for a ride. And they have a great time. Now you say, Herb, that is fictitious. Is it? Do you think that Sylvia was riding on that motorcycle as I was describing it?
Yes.
You think she was sitting behind Ron saying, oh, this big, handsome, fantastic guy, how great he is, you know. And then when Ron says, okay, now you drive, do you think she tremored at all? She said, no, okay. Long as you're here, you're with me. In other words, skill. Now, when Sylvia can say, I am the skill, and get on the Harley and go, then that's great. But you see, that takes a little bit of practice. And Sylvia has to say it again and again and again. And then Sylvia has to let go of Ron. Mm-hmm. As long as she holds on to Ron, she'll never do it herself. When Papa holds the bike while the kid's learning how to ride the bike, yeah, when he lets go, the kid doesn't know it. Let's go faster, Dad. Go fast. Go ahead. But Dad, where are you? Oh, son, you're doing just fine. But I'll fall. You may do that a few times too, but you don't have to. So you just go, you're doing just fine. I am, aren't I? Yeah. You know? And you see, we get past that where we're helped and guided along the way. And I've always told you, and I was going to mention it yesterday, but I didn't. San Diego is north of San Francisco. Now, anybody in their right mind knows that's not true. But can you visualize San Diego being north of San Francisco? Wouldn't that make a change in San Diego? No. San Diego would take its climate right with it. If San Diego has a salubrious climate and it has moved north of San Francisco, it will have a salubrious climate north of San Francisco. It'll be an anomaly. It'll be something quite unusual, but nonetheless, it'll be quite true. So, when we use our imagination, when we use our creativity, when we say things that may or may not have been true, as long as they're not offensive to anything, that's great. But when we speak it for ourselves, it is so. And there's no defense for what was said yesterday, and there's no discussion of it. But the thing is, if you believe I was right, then I'm right. If you believe I was wrong, even if I was right, in your mind, I'd be wrong. And you see, when you have a mind that has some little quirks in it that make you want to put yourself up first, like as he told us that the doctor said to him, "You are the greatest caregiver," remember? "You are the greatest caregiver. Wow, 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 wow." You see, now that's fine. But to say anything nice about somebody else, that was a little more difficult because he's not too practiced in that. Now, we want to be practiced in that. You have learned a lesson about our Douglas. And Douglas is a kid who is messing up, and he's a kid who's not messing up. And when he messes up good. And when he doesn't mess up, he doesn't mess up good. Now, when he was messing up, and you know about his messing up, did you think, "Oh, you terrible, terrible, utterly terrible person, I don't ever want you in my life"? Did you ever say that? When he was having trouble? When he was in the hospital because of his medication and stuff? Were you all upset with him? You were. That's very interesting.
No.
No, yes, you were. Now, whatever he's going through right now, whatever circumstances he's having, he does not want to include us because he is doing things he's not proud of. And if he were proud of them, he would tell us and he'd phone us. He'd know that he can always reach us, but he's not doing it. Now, does that make him bad? Now, what are we in our, let's use a term here, I live my unique individual potentials. What are we in the potential of our thinking he is doing now, thinking he is going through, thinking he is experiencing? Are we ready to put him down? Are we ready to do things? You see, when a person is on drugs, and they get on that occasionally, when they're on drugs, they have no values, and they do not even appreciate the fact. Oh, just like Roger, he stole his mother-in-law's television set and sold it for drugs. Now, he doesn't always say that. He just said, "I stole it," you know. And then he went back to his mother-in-law and confessed that he did it. And she immediately put him in jail. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, he wanted to go to jail. He wanted to have that happen because he knew that the drugs would be difficult for him to handle on the outside. Now, we look at that and we say, "Well, my goodness, you know, he could have got all sorts of treatment and been helped through that situation very nicely, but he didn't do it." Now, what is our unique potential? Well, our unique potential is to be very, very careful. As we talked about May, and we talked about Ray, and we talked about getting them together again, you know, and having harmony in the family for them, and they didn't do it. They got together. Why? It's interesting, but they got together, but neither one changed. Neither one changed. Neither one forgave themselves for having the feelings they had about the other. And so they're killing themselves with these attitudes. The diabetes didn't kill May. The illnesses she may have been having in her body didn't kill her. What killed her was the unhappiness in her heart, was the lack of ability to forgive herself for having mean, unhappy thoughts about somebody else. And She may have had every reason and every right in the world to have mean and unhappy thoughts about somebody else. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But that still doesn't take us off the hook when it kills us. And the Bible says the same thing. Before you go to the altar, before you go to the prayer, go to your brother if you have aught against him and put things to right, and then come to God. Now, there are many other statements in the Bible similar to that, but all of them say, forgive 70 times 70 times, you know? And they say, do not hold a grudge, because the one who holds a grudge is the one who destroys himself with the anger in his own heart. Now, I have had experiences with Ray where it's been very tough, and some very difficult things took place, and my attitude about it each time it took place, which was fine, it didn't bother me, I said, I forgive you, and I said, good luck. Good luck with the challenge that you've taken for yourself. And it was not enough good luck that I gave him, because it fell through the program that they had to take him. And you see, that's how life goes on. We have to be very, very careful. We have to be very, very careful. And if we're not careful, we're going to have to live with that all of our life. And it's going to be a canker sore, not a canker sore, a very terrible cancer in our consciousness, in our body. It'll destroy us. And so Jesus said, must become as little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. And little children do something that, oh, if we could only retain, it'd be so beautiful. They don't hold a grudge. They don't hold an anger. While the parents get angry at the other parents because the kids are angry at each other, the kids have already made up and are out playing again. But when the parents get in the scene, then you can't play with that kid anymore. You can't. Hey, this was my argument with him, not yours, you know. Why are you so uptight about what I'm doing? I'm forgiving him. Now, if a kid could say that, if he could say that, Mom, I've forgiven him already for doing this, and it's mostly my fault anyhow. The mother would say, ah, you know, I'm angry. You know, and she can't get over her anger because she has learned how to keep a grudge, how to hold a grudge, how to hold anger. And adult people do that. That's a potential too. But we have just as great a potential, if not greater, for getting over it, not be touched by it. Be untouched. Be untouched. I was just thinking as I was walking the path this morning, I was blessing all in my world, and I was thinking, you know, the Stalders were an awfully good family. We did a lot of good things together. The whole family was involved in my seminars, and they were really wonderful. And their parents, you know, Oscar and Sylvia, were just really super ladies and super guy. And they're really, really good. And I blessed them with my unconditional love for whatever experiences they're going through. And everything is happy and harmonious in their life. Everything is in balance. Now, I could be unhappy because they forgot to do certain things at different times. But why? Let it go. Let it go. If I ever remember that they forgot to do things at certain times, I'm back there again. I'm living in the negative. And who needs them? So I bless them. And I thought, yes, another family, the Stressley family. I bless them totally. Because they were afraid of their son coming here, but they really weren't. What they were afraid of was that their son was standing on his own feet and doing his own thing. That's what they were afraid of. And because they had a big meeting, they included me in it. But I was like a fly on the wallpaper. They didn't speak to me. They didn't do anything. They talked to him. But apparently they never had a chance to talk to him as a family, you know. And he just said, Mom, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it. And I thought, wow, what a character. What a fantastic mind. And he has proven equal to that all of his life. And that's beautiful. But you see, this is the glory of the thing. This is the glory of the thing. Now, if he will use that same attitude with his relationships and so forth, he'll find them fantastic. But Sometimes he falls into the area of being a human being and thinking things are the way they appear to be, and that's not what they are. Nothing is what it appears to be. Now, we're wonderful, aren't we? We have, as we're proctors, and one of the things we say for a book review, what did the book say to you? And so Christina took a number of sentences from the book, from one page, and those sentences were very, very positive, very powerful. And then she wrote, that she didn't say, this guided my life, but she said, this is what the book said to her, and this is how she interpreted it. And she interpreted it as being a super lady in every respect, in every way, and 3 pages or more. But she just really went on beautifully. 5 pages or less was a requirement. And she wrote fantastic about it. Now I'm going to read her dissertation, and I will see how that comes. And it'll be a fascinating experience to see what happens. So, you all just have a lovely day and know that I live my unique individual potentials, and I live them all the time in every way. So, I love you, I love you, I love you.